Today's presentation is an encore presentation. Any dates or events mentioned in the program have already occurred. Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. Glad to be with you this Wednesday, December 11th. A chilly day here in the Midwest. Nice and chilly and cold. But as we think about the holidays, quite often we warm up and maybe have questions about the holidays. Some of us approach the holidays with a little bit of angst and anxiety. And some of that may come from thinking about how do we approach the holidays, all the festivities that surround the holidays, when we have a child or a loved one who is dealing with autism, being on the autism spectrum. And so we're going to talk with our friends from the Greater Lafayette Area Special Services Cooperative this morning and get some answers to those questions. Joining us by phone this morning is Olivia Schuler, teacher at the Greater Lafayette Area Special Services. Good morning, good morning, Olivia. Good to have you with us.
Good morning, Andy. Thank you for inviting us.
I guess it's afternoon for you there, huh?
It is, truly. It's so cold.
So we're in Lafayette, Indiana. Also joining us by phone this morning, Aaron Phillips, administrator at the Greater Lafayette Area Special Services. Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning. How are you today?
Great, great. Glad to have you both with us. Is it just as cold there as it is here? It's barely 30, I think, here.
It was below zero this morning when we left home, so.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, it was pretty cold this morning. The wind chill was pretty chilly here, too. Well, tell us a little bit about, Olivia, can you tell us what is GLASS, or Greater Lafayette Area Special Services?
We are people who work to support the special education services in the local school corporations. And we may be in classrooms, we may be doing research, we may be writing grants. It's a variety of responsibilities to support the local school corporations.
But everything you do comes back to supporting students with special needs. Is that correct?
That is correct. We focus on students with special needs and training for teachers in special education techniques and strategies.
We hear about autism a lot in news and media all over the place, but and now we hear the term autism spectrum. Can you give us an idea of what in layman's terms what does the autism spectrum mean?
I'll give you a try from what I'm learning. It's not something that is easily measured by, let's say, blood tests or breathing rates or things like that. It's a way that we organize behaviors that are showing difficulties with social communication and social interaction, thinking about maybe social and emotional reciprocity. And by that, we think about unusual social approaches. Or like right now, I'm feeling nervous about the back and forth of our conversation.
You're doing great.
But someone with autism might feel even more difficulty or might not have a way to take those turns. Some of the people with autism might have difficulty sharing their interests. Sometimes communication is more than just the words that we say, but it's also our nonverbal behaviors. So I might have difficulty looking you in the eye, or I might be able to look you in the eye, but I can't organize the rest of my body to give you those nonverbal messages that I'm interested. Or it might be that I don't know how to look at your face and understand your expression of humor or anger or frustration. And then with those challenges, it might seem that I have difficulty initiating or, let's say, developing and maintaining a relationship. And that might look like or might show up in that I don't know how to readjust my behavior in different situations. Or I might have difficulty with imaginary activities. You know, like when Erin and I are doing something, she might have a game in her mind, but I might not be able to jump into her imaginary game. Or sometimes I might really not have an interest at all in what she's doing, and that's okay too, but those are barriers. The other parts that we think of as barriers might be so much restriction or such an intense interest in something that is restricted that it gets in the way of how you handle yourself or how you go visiting or mm-hmm. engage with other people. So we talk about restricted behavior.
So it comes down to primarily behavior, but mm-hmm. it sounds like it covers, it could be a number of things. So I guess that's where the word spectrum comes in. It could be a number of different things. So on one end of the spectrum, we have, one type of situation, and the other end of the spectrum, something different. And you talked about those. Some of those might be just having difficulty with imagination, jumping into something that's imaginary. So that can really create, I guess, when it comes to, as you said, social interaction and social and reciprocity, that really could create some challenges or difficulties when it comes to this time of year, right? With all the festivities.
Sure enough. And it really becomes knowing each individual.
Mm-hmm. Erin, how might being on the autism spectrum affect interaction during, holiday get-togethers, Christmas programs or things like that? How might it affect a student or even an adult on the autism spectrum?
Right. And first of all, we'd like to say thank you for calling us today. We really, really love supporting our special needs individuals, not just here in the Lafayette area, but everywhere, and love to give advice to any family members or friends of those who have children in the autism spectrum. As the holidays approach, it can be difficult because one thing about the students that we often see is keeping things in routine and in order. And as we know with holidays, that becomes unraveled a little bit. So that can make it really, really difficult for our children, but it doesn't mean the holidays should stop. As we know, the holidays are about friends and family, and that's what we want all of our families to continue to do, is to enjoy your time with the friends and families. And one thing that can really start helping is to educate your friends and families on what is autism and what that may look like, and specifically what could a meltdown possibly look like when you get together, just so that friends and families are prepared if we're having an off day, what that might look like. But there are a lot of things that we can do together that you can work with everybody to help make the holidays a little more smooth. definitely. And one thing to keep in mind, as Olivia pointed out, is that oftentimes people with the autism in the autism spectrum have difficulty with emotional responses and keeping things out of routine. For example, if your company comes over to the house, this may be difficult because that is out of our routine. Or your meal that you had that night was out of routine, it wasn't at the same time, or the decorations in the home are different. Other things that can be challenging around this time or outside friends and families might be looking for a bigger emotional response to a situation than that your child can offer. For instance, opening a present, the child may open it, look at it, and put it aside and move on to the next thing. It doesn't mean that the child doesn't really enjoy the present. It's just that we have to remember that our social and emotional attachments are different in those situations.
Certainly.
But we definitely recommend on our end to not stop the holidays. The holidays shouldn't be stopped because of a child with autism. They can be enjoyable.
And I suppose there are ways that we could see these some of these unique qualities,
sure,
as gifts. As you were talking about the routine being so important to mm-hmm. someone on the autism spectrum, and that took me to, made me think of one of the students I work with in Sunday school, and he is so sharp on what time it is and where we should be and what time we should be, and how thinking about, we could really use that as a gift to help mm-hmm. us stay on track. I could probably use him in my daily life to help me stay on my schedule here. how those types of things can be really considered mm-hmm. a gift, and you can and emphasize those and utilize those, I guess, during holiday gatherings too. Is it time for the dinner or for the toast or for, mm-hmm. If you have those times set, it might be out of the routine, but they might be able to help you stay on track
on
with those.
Routine, which is really good. And that is, we have some holiday advice that we can share. And we also have some just general advice in general. And on both of those lists would be trying to keep routine as routine as possible. continue that. And that is great to have the child help be the leader in that situation. That gives ownership and independence and makes their child feel really good about themselves.
And Andy, I imagine you might have an Advent calendar or an Advent wreath that you're using with your class or your family. And that's one of the strategies that Aaron might talk about, where you're setting up a countdown to an event, or a day that is the same, a day that is different. For example, the 5 days of school, then Saturday, and then maybe Sunday with you at church. Those are different kinds of days. So your Advent calendar can be a very useful tool. And you could blend in particular events within that calendar.
Because it's creating a structure that, that is meaningful.
Absolutely.
That makes sense to me. Before we go into into questions further, I do want to give our listeners a chance, if they have a question today, I want to give them a chance to join the conversation today. So if you are listening and have a question for our guest today about students or children on the autism spectrum and the holidays, feel free to give us a call. Here in the St. Louis area, the number is 314-821-0850, or you can email your questions to family@kfuo.org. I apologize, our 800 number is down today, but you can call us on the St. Louis line, 314-821-0850. If you're outside of the St. Louis area, that's going to be a long distance number for you. Or you can email your questions to family@kfuo.org. Now, before I take a little pause there, I want to go back to something we talked about earlier, gift giving, and gift giving and receiving gifts, and some of the challenges that you might face there. What can we do to help prepare for that moment? I know we talked about, you know, talking with friends and family about, you know, be prepared.
Be prepared. Yep. There's a lot of things that you can do with gift giving. One suggestion would be a social story. And what social stories are used for is to narrate and walk through what an event may look like. So in a school setting, sometimes we use a social story to say, this is how we sit at our desk. And we go step by step by step. Well, we can do the same thing with opening presents. We can have a social story that walks us through, first I sit, then I unwrap, then I open, and we may want to include in there, then I say thank you. And then not only using a book or a visual, we may actually want to do that with the present itself and practice that. We might also want to practice taking turns opening presents. One of the things in speaking with our families is they'll say around the holidays, every child loves opening presents, as we know.
Absolutely.
And this is not this is not uncommon, even for children not on the autism spectrum, to want to rush through their presents. So we need to make that pretty clear. But sitting down and doing a pretend night where it's back and forth, first my turn, then their turn, if that's how your family chooses to do that, that can be very helpful. Another thing that one of the parents had said, we talked to parents prior to coming on tonight because we had a lot of research, but we also wanted to hear it from the parents, was wrapping your child's presents in the same colored paper was very helpful because the child could visually see there are five presents. When that is done, I am done. Instead of maybe thinking the other present is for me or I'm going to open all of them, that way that's a visual cue that's really easy and you say all of your presents are with the snowflakes on there.
That's funny. My parents did that for us all along.
It can do that. It can make it really nice. And other families have shared with us that sometimes they sit in a circle, so it's very structured, and they take turns by sitting in a circle. So it's very obvious who goes next when doing that. But we want to really practice the skills that are important to your family. If saying thank you after the present is really important, then that needs to be maybe practiced prior. If throwing the paper away after opening the gift is something that's going to be expected on Christmas Day, we're going to want to do that because we're going to try to mimic how we've learned it and practice. Practice does help in these type of situations. But there are always factors we have to remember, and that's when anxiety may come through. We had talked to a parent that with trick-or-treating had practiced what that would look like, and they went door-to-door with a practice situation. And the one thing that they failed to practice was what happens when you ring the doorbell and somebody doesn't answer. And that's when a meltdown or anxiety triggered. So we have to remember the unknown may happen, and that's okay. But what can we do to help support the child if the unknown happens? Because as we know, it's the holidays and there's family and things may happen.
Right. That's so true. In practicing the presidency, you gave me a good idea. One way to practice is maybe for a week or two before the family get together, before the holiday, the Christmas party or whatever it may be, to have just really tiny presents for them to practice opening and to go through, just leading up to that event, they have something to practice with.
That's a great idea.
Mm-hmm. You bet. And sometimes taking pictures of that, you could make a little schedule.
Oh, that's a good idea.
And then you would have, sometimes we call them first, then, later schedules. First you do this, then you do this, then you do that. You can have that as a visual reminder, and that can sometimes be helpful. Or I do three presents, then I throw it away, then I get to drink what I want to drink.
All good advice.
Yeah.
I think, you know, those are all great ideas for gift giving. When it comes to the parties and festivities, large groups coming together, does that raise an issue for or a concern for children in the autism spectrum that, you know, we have, instead of four people in our house, we now have 25 people in our house.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of questions does that raise?
It can raise a lot of questions. It can cause high anxiety moments. It can cause some children to have increased behavior moments, but it can also have children that separate. Their way of coping with that may be to not be part of the group and they want to be alone. And what you can do prior to that is, as we keep saying, there is always planning that is typically required. But you can start with a photo book and go through, if you have photographs of the people that would be coming to the home, look through those photos and say, this is grandpa, this is grandma, they will be coming over, they will be in our house. And you can even do it with even M&Ms. Each person is a representative of an M&M, and so they can get a concept of what maybe 20 looks like versus the family of four. So that is a really good idea, and they can go through and go through the pictures. Again, the social narrative of what that would look like. But when you bring others into your home, or you travel, because for some of our families, we'll be traveling to other homes, you may want to think ahead in terms of what is that security item that your child likes. For some students, it's, you know, an iPad, a special toy, or a blanket that makes them feel secure. So bringing that into the other person's home so that if there is downtime, we want our children to blend in as much as they can, but we have to remember this is a high anxiety situation for some, and that trying to have your child maybe talk to everybody, there it might not, if that's the first opportunity, that's not the time.
Mm-hmm.
That's a time to kind of practice outside and do it gradually, not maybe Christmas when everybody is in attendance. And you might want to locate a quiet space or talk to someone that if you're going to their home, where would be a quiet space that my child could go to if they just needed a break? And then as soon as you get there, you find it, whether it be a spare bedroom or just an area in the house that they can take a break. Mm-hmm. Another thing that we haven't touched on are all the different foods that we eat over the holidays.
Yeah.
We have some great foods. For some of our children, they're very bland eaters, and they like the same things, sometimes for some children, every day, the same breakfast, lunch, and dinner. We recommend to do that. That's okay. If that's going to be a comfort at that time, again, now's maybe not the time to introduce all new foods. That can cause another reason to have high anxiety. So bring the peanut butter sandwich if you need to. It's okay.
Something else that may trigger anxiety or noticing of differences is fragrances. And often with candles, if we are using winter pine cuttings, things like that may or may not be an issue. So sometimes the hosting family to ask what are the needs of the guest family, or the guest family to ask the host, what's your home going to be like? We have special challenges, some smells, maybe lights, or as you mentioned at the beginning, temperature. Frankly, some of us do better when we are in warm temperatures, when we don't have to wear as many clothes, and some of us like to have very tight and restrictive clothing and blankets. So even the temperature of the event and the clothing necessary could make a difference.
One other thing that comes to mind when we were talking about traveling, whether in our, you know, whether they're coming to our home or we're going to someone else's home, quite often the overlooked members of the family, the pets.
And oh, the pets. Yes.
What role do pets play in this, in the, you know, family get-togethers and parties and things when it comes to children with on the autism spectrum?
I would say that these type of children are no different than any other child. We have, in a previous school I worked in, therapeutic dogs that would come into the classrooms, and it didn't matter if the child had autism or, let's say, Down syndrome, that certain children love animals and certain children don't. It's kind of that when it comes to pet. It's the rule is the rule. Of course, always saying this family has a dog, you know, and if you know they have a dog and your child is afraid of a dog, like any other child, I would just say my child is afraid of a dog. I know when members come to my house, I know we have one particular friend's daughter who is afraid of our dog. So I always make sure the dog is kind of put up when this child comes over. And so I would say that's pretty typical of all children at sure. this point.
Good advice.
I think really what Erin just said, any individual with any gift or any disability is the same as everyone else. It's just some things are more intense or less intense.
And that brings me to another question. When interacting with family members who maybe you're not around as much, who just don't understand,
right.
And they just think, you know, little Johnny, he can't behave, and they
right.
just don't understand. Why can't you? You know, what are you doing wrong? You can't get your son to behave.
Exactly. We've run into this a lot, and actually, a lot of our parents seek out other parents with children with autism or special needs because they often feel like they're being looked upon for their child's maybe meltdown or negative behavior, which is not all the time. We want to stress that we don't want to label autism with always having negative behaviors because there's so many children that is not the case. And or if we have a meltdown, it might just be very infrequent. So I want to make that really clear. But that does happen in situations. And the one thing we need to remember is these families and these children have ears, and we shouldn't make the focus of our holidays about their behavior. The family's feeling enough pressure as it is to come to a social event. I'm sure they're feeling very on edge to make sure it's not their child who maybe is doing something, just as any parent would. And we need to try our best. If you have someone in your family that's bringing a child with special needs, one thing you could do is try to give them a break. Maybe interact, if you're comfortable with the child, interact with the child so that the family can take a break, because that oftentimes our families with special needs children, they do not get a break ever. And it would be really nice for them to get 15 minutes with another adult to have conversation with.
Yeah.
And if there is a negative behavior, again, that's kind of why we were talking pre ahead of time. If the parents can talk to whoever that is and just say, here's what you might see, this is part of what we work with every day, I'm sorry if this happens, that way they know that this is something the parent is aware of. It's not something the parent's just ignoring. And again, with all children and all parents, we know what's an acceptable behavior to one parent might not be to another parent. We all have different scales of what's acceptable behavior. So that's just part of the holidays and the love of families all getting together.
And so that's probably good advice for anyone, regardless of whether autism spectrum is included, involved or not.
True. But I think the biggest thing I'd like to stress again is having friends with children with special needs, that I just know the times they feel the most uncomfortable in a setting is when they can hear other parents talking about their child, maybe in a low tone across in the kitchen, and not intentionally, but they're just trying to converse about it. And that just really, it's really hard on our parents. So just be as accepting and open as you can. And it's okay to say, I don't understand this. Can you explain it to me? If you have a family member coming over, you can say, I am not familiar with autism, or even if it's another special needs. And what can I do to be helpful tonight? Is it engage with the child? Is it stay away from the child? Is it what can I do to help you? And then that'll really, really help the parents feel comfortable, or caretakers. It could be grandma or grandpa.
Absolutely.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all great ideas. With about a minute left, Olivia, do you have any final thoughts? And we'll come back to Erin.
There are some resources that are available to people throughout the world and throughout the United States, such as the Autism Society of America. There are different state agencies that people can look up if they are savvy with online. And there are also local agencies that someone could contact, such as even the local school corporations, just to get information. I also am aware that there are many congregations that have programs for individuals with special needs. For example, at my home congregation in Washington, D.C., there's Lifeline Partnership. And so there are a lot of resources that people can talk about and reach out to get information.
Great. Thank you for those resources. And with about 20 seconds, Erin.
We just want to say thank you for calling us, and we wish everybody a happy holiday this season, especially all of our children with special needs. And we just hope they really enjoy it and have a wonderful time with our families. And all children experience the holidays in different ways, and we just want to make it as supportive as we can for those that have difficulties with change of routine. But it is possible to have a great holiday.
Thanks so much. We've been talking with Olivia Schuler, teacher at Greater Lafayette Area Special Services. Olivia, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you for having us.
And Erin Phillips, administrator at Greater Lafayette Area Special Services.
Thank you for calling us. Have a great day.
Thanks. You too.
Bye.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.